What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
My mind's playing. Tricks on me, why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind, oh,
it's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, you guys. How's it going? Welcome back to Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we've got a bonus episode for you guys this week. Yeah. We did a swap cast, which we hadn't done before.
Super cool.
But it's where you go on to somebody else's podcast, and then we put up the file on our end, and he puts it up on there. So we went on the Mike Tolley show on SiriusXM. It was a great time. Mike Tolley is a great radio guy and is on the Jason Ellis show. So you might know him from that on SiriusXM as well.
And you get the opportunity to hear us at 10:30 in the morning, which is when we recorded it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very early for some of us.
Yes. Lunchtime for others of us.
Yeah. So we got to talk about Self-Helpless stuff with him, and he got to talk to us about all kinds of things.
We delved into He's Just Not That Into You.
Yeah.
And really got into some like relationship stuff, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like everybody's points of views on relationships, which was interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came from a place that I feel like we haven't talked about yet on the podcast before. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was nice hearing a guy's perspective on like when he met his now wife, how that went, how that felt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So
it's just nice for us to be interviewed for a change. I mean, we work hard.
Hello. We have interesting things to say, too.
Don't you want
to
know what I do with my day?
So we just wanted to do this quick intro for it because there is not an intro in the actual episode. So we're just going to plug our social media. I'm at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, and KelseyCook.com. I will also be in Seattle and Portland this weekend with Jim Norton at the Neptune Theater and Aladdin Theater. So my Pacific Northwest people, come to one of those shows. It's gonna be great. Yeah.
My website's ttomcomedy.com. My Instagram is at ttomcomedy, and my Twitter is at Taylor Tomlinson. And this weekend I'm gonna be at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City.
Woohoo!
Woo!
DelaneyFisher.com at Delaney Fisher, and this weekend I will be in my bedroom probably making out with my boyfriend and eating a burrito.
You lucky bitch.
Please, as always, subscribe to Self-Helpless on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and review. You guys have been so great. We keep getting just amazing.
Thank you for the support.
We're going to be reading some of those reviews soon, and we're in the process of getting shirts made, and we're going to start sending out shirts. A 5-star rating and review. So take a second to do that. It helps us a lot. You can follow Mike Tolley as well. He's at Tolley on Twitter, T-U-L-L-Y, and it is the Tolley Show, the Mike Tolley Show on Sirius. So go subscribe to that. You can subscribe to his podcast on iTunes. And
At Tollywood on Instagram.
At Tollywood on Instagram. Perfect. That's it, I think.
That's it.
All right. Enjoy the episode, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Meg.
Thank you. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were saying hi to the listeners or to us.
I know. So. We all chimed in. That was a perfect white girl chorus. Yes.
Hello.
The white Destiny's Child.
Yes.
Are you, I know you're spelled comedians. Are you comedians? Have I been overpronouncing the second half of that word? Have I been have I been Cajuning that unnecessarily?
I go by comedian.
Yeah.
I-A-N. What about you guys?
I hate it when people say comedian.
Comedian.
Why, just because of the gender specificity?
Yeah, I just don't, I don't know.
Does
I just seem don't like it.
Does it seem like a less than thing?
I feel
I think it's cool.
Here's the thing. It's so similar to comedian that it's just different enough that people have to be like, the next one's a comedian.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
They put a little extra like stank on it. And you're
right.
Like, I don't like how you said that.
Right.
You
paprika
just,
on the end.
Yeah.
Seasoning.
It's like saying this next one's a lady. Get ready for some lady views, you know?
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Get ready for this egg sack. So gross.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the three of you combined forces and decided to do a self-help podcast. Are you equally insane, or is one of you more insane than the rest?
Ooh, I think we're equally insane in different ways.
Yeah, we all have our things. I mean, there seems to be a recurring theme on the show with Delaney's tits, where she shows...
I caught a bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah. She shows her tits for many reasons. So that's like her little nugget of weirdness,
very
I think.
Open. I might be too open where I overshare to where like my boyfriend doesn't listen to the podcast anymore. He's like, I just don't need to know certain things about you. but my type of self-improvement that I love is the whole minimalism movement. Just having as little as possible.
Yeah, you're good with that. You like she like threw away diaries and stuff.
Oh,
I mean, she feels
she was
nothing.
Brutal.
I
was
that's madness.
Cold-hearted.
Ice cold.
Yeah.
I think Delaney is the chillest of all of us, and I think minimalism adds up to that.
Yeah, you sound more like Santa Monica crazy.
That
barely qualifies.
Very nice. I like Santa Monica. Yeah.
Just
that
rolling around
great.
In the sand. This is
oh, I love Venice Beach.
Yeah. And then I'm probably the most, I'm the youngest and I'm probably the most inexperienced. And I think I'm a little more closed off and less chill. And I think, Kelsey, tell me if you disagree. I think you're a nice, healthy medium where like you put yourself out there and you're really open to stuff and you try things, but you're also like very perfectionistic and like very hard on yourself. And I would say, do you think that's the
that
spectrum?
Makes sense.
I think so. There's like a little Jekyll and Hyde situation happening in Kelsey's brain at all times, I think. Between like, let's let loose and have fun, but do it right. Do it correctly the first time.
Let loose perfectly.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's have fun, but let's not get all crazy here.
Yeah.
Okay, let me phrase the same question a different way. Which one of you would have a person in your life, maybe in your past, who would have the most insane story of you being insane? Be it a boyfriend, be it a family member. Because I didn't really get an answer the first time around.
Oh, I mean, probably Delaney.
I think there's some, I don't know, Kelsey might have some stories as well. But I definitely have some stuff that if it got out, would be real different. I'd be a really different person. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
what?
Well, the boob stuff is just kind of the... What do you call it?
The icing on the cake.
Yeah, there's some more stuff in that regards that I maybe have done where I've been explorative in certain ways. You know, maybe like some sex stuff.
Can we say sex stuff? I sort of gathered that. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. This is an uncensored show.
Some kind of like, you know, some group things.
some group projects.
Yeah.
Some group work. Do you have
some
crazy like skeletons in your closet?
Well, I mean, we shared on the Self-Helpless podcast that with feng shui stuff, when I was in college with my roommate, I told her that she couldn't put board games in a certain area of the home because that was the love and relationship corner and it would bring games into our relationships. And she was like, wow, you're a fucking witch. Like, that's not normal behavior at all. Like, you shouldn't share that with anybody that you think that that's how life works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely things where it's like, wow, yeah, that's not mentally stable at all.
Right.
Cut to years later where you're sharing them on a podcast very publicly and converting us to feng shui witches.
Well, it works. Are you a feng shui guy, Mike?
I mean, I have noticed that if I arrange my furniture a certain way, I'm less apt to like bump into things.
Okay.
Hey, that's great.
That's very practical.
You're spatially feng shuiing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
But if you put like a couch in a certain corner, you're like, oh, well, this is interesting. My, you know, life is a little better. Nothing of that.
Yeah, one time we had, I knew this guy very briefly who was, I mean, looked and talked exactly like Hulk Hogan, except that his job was, he was not an artist. I'm sure he was in his spare time, but he arranged, like, when there was an art show, he okay. arranged the room with the art.
Okay.
And he was like, okay, you guys go out for an hour. And we came back, and he had, like, I mean, things that had been pieces of Halloween costumes became, like, chandeliers.
Wow.
And it was fucking incredible. Oh, it was so
wow.
good. The couches were, because we had this tiny little apartment in New York, had obviously been flush against the walls. Now they were sort of, like, pinched, like, curved inward, which should okay. have made no sense, but it actually made the room seem longer. So ooh. I'm totally aware that you can work. This is decorating more than
yeah, this sounds yeah. interior design.
Yeah. I'm aware.
Yeah.
But what you do with your space. Okay, I'm definitely a huge, huge person. I used to be incredibly messy. When I was a kid, I waited all my life to get my own bedroom. I shared it with my sister until we were way too old to be sharing a bedroom. I
okay.
finally got it. Within
Skywalker
three,
action.
Exactly. We might have had the Force.
And may or may not have.
Within like 3 months, I'd buried it in so much shit, I could no longer like walk in there or sleep in there, and I just started sleeping on the couch. So
whoa.
I was a particularly messy person. I believe we all know anal retentive. I believe there's a Freudian term that is anal expulsive, and I believe I was anal expulsive.
Wow. Whereas, just shitting everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I couldn't go back. I mean, which is crazy because the bathroom was right down the hall.
Oh, my gosh.
And now I like kind of, if I'm going to do some work at home, I almost can't do it until I've completely cleared up and organized this
yeah.
space.
Yeah, that's how I am too. Yeah,
so I've completely flipped on that. And again, not exactly feng shui, more cleaning the house, I understand.
Yeah,
but I
no.
do feel like I get the idea.
That makes total yeah. sense. I mean, I've said that before, that if your place looks like shit, you're going to feel like shit too. It
yes.
all correlates. What happened in your life that made you flip like that? Like, why did you make such a big change?
I don't, nothing, there was no eureka moment whatsoever. I was still really shitty. I lost a very literally shitty. Lost the deposit of my first apartment because we let our cat just like constantly defecate in
my
God. Roommate. My roommate had a pile of clothes that it
yeah.
turned out we weren't changing the litter box often enough, so the cat was just like,
no.
I'll make my own litter
my
box.
Gosh.
Oh, no.
So clearly I hadn't changed by the time I was 19.
Okay.
I don't know, somewhere along the way, like, I think a lot of people nowadays seem to really value like staying a kid forever and keeping in touch with their inner child. I really always liked the idea of being an adult. And I think at a certain point I was just like, I want to be an adult. And when I started to make a tiny little bit of money, like just like waiter money.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have a home, you know, I have a car.
Yeah.
I want to take care of these things.
Yeah.
Why would
right.
Why would I trash my shit? I spend a lot of money on it. And it kind of just went from there.
Yeah.
And then I married a super messy woman.
Did you just, man?
Yeah. Mm. Just throwing the bobby pins everywhere.
Yeah. my dad always told me, like, just ingrained in my head, like, you have to be clean or boys like won't want to date you.
Oh, mine,
you know,
did too.
Like, it, to the point where I'm like, oh my God, I have to do this. And now I'm just super OCD about my space, and my boyfriend's a complete disaster. And I'm like,
right.
What about the other guy? You yeah. know?
What about the other
yeah.
guy?
You
yeah, my parents were like, what kind of wife are you going to make if you can't make your bed in the morning?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, man. Just like, I probably won't. How about that?
A tiny child bride.
Yeah. This is, you're 12. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
You've had your menses for 2 years. Get it together.
We didn't prepare this dowry for nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
These chickens are going to die soon. Get on Tinder.
Yeah. Get your shit together, Taylor.
Oh, man.
So you talked about, I believe, the art, the war of art.
Yeah, that
yes.
was
Stephen Pressfield.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Never
I think
great.
I think I went through that.
Great read.
Yeah, I'm sure it was at the time. Clearly didn't make any lasting impression. I think I scribbled down a bunch of notes. You know, I was like,
yeah,
oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And then God knows
right.
where those notes
yeah.
are. But in the description, the capsule description you did for that episode, correct me if I'm wrong, you pondered the question, are you more afraid of success or failure? And I gather
yeah.
that is a war of art thing.
Totally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Is that, like, did any of you say that you were more afraid of success than failure? Because that doesn't make any sense.
I think it, honestly, I think it depends on where you are in your career. Because I think I'm equally afraid of both, personally.
Yeah.
But if I have a lot of stuff happening in my career, I'm more afraid of success because it feels like that's what's that's where it's leaning at the moment. But if nothing's happening, I'm more afraid of failure because I feel like that's the direction
I'm leaning in. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it just depends on where you're at. Because something's happening too fast, you feel like, oh, I'm not ready for it. I don't deserve it. And then if nothing's happening, you're like, why isn't anything happening? I'm obviously not good enough for anything to ever happen to me. I should go jump off a bridge. Like, you're just so hard on yourself either way.
You from the Midwest?
No, but people often think I am, and I don't know if it's because of my face or the fact that people have told me I have
a very middle America kind of face.
Thank you. I'm for the listeners at home, I'm very round and wholesome.
Did you see your Ohio face features.
She's wearing a lot of Green Bay Packers gear.
I know. She's got a cheese hat on.
A Rockford, Illinois face. Yeah.
All right. Nice. I'll turn the cheese hat backwards so I look a little more street. I say on stage, like, I'm very wholesome. Men don't even picture me naked. They just picture me helping their mom on Christmas.
I thought I picked up a bit of an accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good. I'm very, it's bad.
But I'm curious why in this day and age anybody would think that they might be undeserving of fame or success when we see so many people who bring nothing to the table, who have so much
that's
success.
A great
so you're
point.
Scared you're that person.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I think I'm not afraid of it.
That's
right.
Fine by me.
You're very talented. The rest of us are still working.
We're struggling.
Yeah. I'm just saying I have a modest amount of success at this very moment in time, and I used to wake up and have night terrors that, oh my God, I'm never going to do anything with myself. And then I got a little bit right now, and I'm like, oh, phew.
Yeah.
That's better.
That's
like, I can't really explain to me what the fear of success would look like, because I hear that all the time and I really can't relate.
I'm actually equally afraid of both, but I also equally embrace both, because in my head there's pros and cons to failure and there's pros and cons to success. And so for me it's like, okay, if I fail at this entertainment industry stuff, maybe I'll just be a really good mom and enjoy my life that way. Or, you know, hey, if something takes off, we start touring together and that is going to change. There's pros and cons to that. I'm loving my job, but maybe my social life is struggling. You have stuff like that in other aspects.
Relationship.
Or relationship is kind of strained. So I don't know. I'm kind of just along for the ride, but I get why people could be afraid of both.
Yeah. Are you afraid of more of one or the other, Kels?
Yeah, I think there's something, especially with comedians, where you have a fear that you're going to get some exposure and then not be ready for it. Like, there's a very common thing with comedians where you look back on your material even just 8 months before where you are, and you're like, don't like that set, or I don't like that joke anymore, or whatever. And so you're always seeking that kind of exposure and TV spots and stuff like that, but then there's a fear that you're not actually ready for whatever you just got. So I think there's a fear of success in that way, that you're going to regret it or something.
Yep, yeah. Everything I've done on TV.
I mean, I don't want to split hairs, but that doesn't exactly sound like the fear of success, because it sounds like if you get the shot and you're not ready, well, then you will fail. Success would just be they've
more
offered
failure.
Me a Netflix special and I do it and maybe I look back in the jokes and I don't love them, but people seem to like it, and then I start getting movie roles. Like, that's what success is. Who would be afraid of that? What is the downside?
It depends on your definition of success also, I think, because you look at certain people. I was trying to think of who it is. I can't remember who said this, but I heard some comedian on some podcast or something talking about Amy Schumer and saying, like, oh yeah, she's good for a 10-year comic. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, even at 10 years people are like, yeah, you know, you're fine for being 10 years in. And it's like, so should I just hibernate for the next 20 years until should I just hide in the Midwest doing bar shows until I'm like good enough for people to see? Because even if you're successful and you do movies and stuff, you know, failure to you could be like losing the respect of your peers or something, or certain people not thinking you're good, or your heroes not thinking you're good. Or, like you said, it could be getting those opportunities and then not receiving like critical acclaim for them, or people not liking it, and then, you know, having to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. I'm afraid of isolation with success, being so successful that you don't like start to trust anybody. Or, you know, like, somebody always wants something from you and you feel like you can't relate to anybody anymore. That's my fear with, like, being ultimately very successful. It's like, oh, it just keeps leading to more things where I feel kind of alone.
Well, okay. I kind of understand that. I mean, we're all many, many steps away from that, you know, Steven Seagal level of isolation. And I'd like to think that you could pump the brakes a little bit if you wanted to somewhere along the way and settle into a comfortable level of celebrity. But I guess we do see that people who get close do tend to go for the brass rings. Maybe there is something that's more addictive and intoxicating about being that close to the, you know, the top of the mountain than us mere mortals can realize.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and also the bigger you get, the more that like the trolls come out and all that stuff. And I mean, you just talked about Amy Schumer. I think that's such a great example of somebody who, like, man,
she is gone.
If you look at her Instagram comments, like the comments on her pictures, there are so many people that are like, I love you, you're amazing. And so many people that are like, I fucking hate you. It's like, wow, that has to be hard just on a day-to-day basis to deal with that. Because that didn't used to be her life. You know, it was just coming up and not having that kind of, but if you get so much exposure, it's really hard to turn that off.
And it happened very, very quickly for her. I mean, she was a commodity before she became Amy Schumer, but she was, when she was on the Jason Ellis show, like literally wrestling our co-host to the ground. I think her Instagram was getting like, you know, several hundred or several thousand likes and people going, awesome, great show.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was the TV show and the movie, and I think that to just wake up one day and be there has got to be
That's tough.
So strange, yeah.
But great again. So that's like I think right there. Such she must want to keep that level of success.
Yeah.
But there are drawbacks to being that exposed all the time. Now that's got to be hard in ways.
Yeah, and a different person might not handle it as well. Like Delaney was talking about isolation. Maybe if Delaney were in that position, she would feel like, oh, this isn't worth it. Like, I just want to take an anonymous lap around Target.
Yeah.
I do love my Target.
Famous movie star comedian strolling around bottomless in Target.
Bottomless.
Love it.
That's the new step. She's been doing a lot of topless stuff.
I have.
Bottoms are next.
Oh, man. I just like to go on the record that the group stuff just happened one time. And it wasn't as crazy as you're probably thinking.
Delaney immediately regrets sharing.
I opened with that, and that was
that was a strong choice.
That was a very strong choice.
Yeah. Everybody ought to once. Come on, we're only here once.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car; you should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
YOLO. So we all took a look at I guess he's just not that into you qualifies as a self-help book.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sure.
I don't know if dating guy, because when I think of self-help, I like self-help books, and I did read The War of Art, and
didn't stick for you. What's your favorite self-help book?
I don't have one.
Something that resonated with you the most?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. Recently, I was going through a tough time, and I read, and I'm somewhat embarrassed to admit this, Return to Love. Which was, oh, really? You don't know.
Oh, but now this goes on our list.
You must.
It sounds like a Lifetime movie. Yes. So into it.
It's true like that. She's an Oprah approved lady.
Okay.
Makes sense. I guess there was, if I remember correctly, there was some sort of like Christian mystic in like the 50s or 60s or something who like wrote a bunch of shit and nobody cared and nobody remembered. And then this one woman was like a train wreck and stumbled upon it. And her whole book is like, I deserve none of the credit. Like literally she just puts like clips from that lady's book.
Oh, wow.
And then comments on it. And to the extent that I remember, it's just basically saying go towards love, go towards the life source. And it's a really weird thing, and I've noticed this with self-help books, is whatever was going on with me at the time, it was like I couldn't put it down. It was like, yes, this is exactly what I need to hear. And then I recently felt like I could use a little bit of like a psychic tune-up, and I saw it and I picked it up and I was like, these words make no sense. This book is like gibberish. Really? So there was something kind of weird about, you know, when I was in a certain place, it really spoke to me. And I think that's my take. You know what got me into self-help books is Drew Carey's autobiography, because
really?
He thanked or dedicated it to, like, self-help authors, because he's I was totally, like, didn't believe in myself, you know, why should I be the one who's successful? And he's like, it's no one of them. I read all of them.
Wow.
You know,
I did not know that.
And it gave me this insight, you know, that, because I think what it does is, unless it's a totally batshit crazy book, it just, like, centers you a little bit and it makes you more mindful.
Yeah.
It makes you think, oh, right, what am I doing?
Right.
You know, and regardless of whether you then write your greatest wish on a piece of paper and burn it by the ocean or whatever, you are living with intent and with purpose, and that in and of itself makes, you know, calms down the chaos in your mind.
Yes.
So it's I almost think of self-help books the same way I think of, like, alternative medicine, a.k.a. placebos. It can work if you believe it's working.
Yeah.
But if it's working, then who the fuck cares if it's a placebo?
Exactly. That's how we're feeling about The Secret. We all watched The Secret documentary, if you can call it that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, hey, if it's helping people, it works.
Right.
Same thing with Tony Robbins.
Oh,
if Tony Robbins is
crazy.
Making people not kill themselves, hey, it works. Might not work for everybody, but it worked for one person. It works.
Same with feng shui.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't measure the scientific energy in my apartment or whatever, but if I'm putting a goals poster up and I'm looking at what I want to accomplish every day, it's probably helping me move toward that more than if I wasn't seeing that every day. So, you know.
Yeah.
And again, so much of where you're at, like you brought up, he's just not that into you. We had the author, or one of the authors, Greg Barrett, on, because he's also a comic, and we knew him through stand-up.
Who can forget the Greg Barrett show?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, he was
so
amazing.
Funny, so good. And Delaney's first self-help book was also his second book that he wrote.
Yeah, with his wife, co-wrote. It's called A Breakup Because It's Broken.
And that was totally timing, right?
Yeah.
When you read that.
Yeah, I was 19. I'd just gone through the worst breakup I've ever been through. And yeah, it helped me just survive and feel like less awful, you know?
Yeah.
And it was so cool to actually talk to him face to face.
I get that. Those young breakups are just so brutal.
It's like your world's over.
Yeah, you have no map for what you're supposed to be doing or feeling or what's normal. And
God. Yeah. I would just break down and cry in front of strangers. I've never done that before.
Oh my gosh.
Only time I've done that.
How about since?
Since? Not so much. Pretty good.
Shout out to Greg Barrett.
Thanks, Greg.
Isn't it funny how that first breakup is so horrendous, but then afterward, breakups are never that bad again, because you're just like, well, you'll never get me that raw.
No, the first cut is the deepest, Taylor.
The first cut is the deepest, because it's you realizing that you can't trust your own feelings because you thought this was it, and then it wasn't. And so now for the rest of your life, you're like, well, I feel like this is it, but it probably isn't.
It was
like that last time.
Yeah, like the loss of innocence, or, you know, like naivete. Yeah.
I was
just like, AP English themes.
I was like, oh, people suck.
Yeah.
And people are going to continue to suck, and I need to watch out for red flags of people sucking. That's kind of how I felt.
That was your takeaway, huh?
That was my takeaway. I was like, oh, like, you know, some guy might do this again.
Yeah. Can I ask what you went through that you were feeling like you needed to go back to that book, or if you don't want to share, that's fine.
Yeah, but no, I don't mind telling you. I was, I think I was just really overworked, and I was just filling every available moment of the day with, like, well, but that's not enough. I should be doing this. I should be doing that.
Yeah. Yep.
And I started to get, I feel lame admitting this, but I started to get a really persistent, like, brain fog kind of thing, where the harder I worked, actually, the less I was able to focus, to the extent that I was like, I'll wait 6 months, and if it's still going on, I'm going to go to a doctor. And I went to, like, a neurologist, and she's just like, 50% of the people that I see are about to die, and the other 50% are people who work too hard. And I have a feeling that you're in the second half of that.
Yeah.
But I really was, like, having trouble, like, just getting my bearings, and you know, I simultaneously wanted to move forward, but was having trouble even taking care of the shit I need to do on a day-to-day basis.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's interesting.
Mostly better now.
Yeah.
I just blow shit off now.
Yeah.
You get some brain overcast, the occasional cloud. But you're okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of the fog.
So that's why.
Interesting. Very cool.
Yeah. So I think I really needed something at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You search for one of those books when you're just, there's, what else am I supposed to do?
Right.
Like, it's kind of like a, I don't know, a last resort in a way to make yourself feel better before you seek actual, you know, professional help.
Yeah, you're looking for connection. Yeah. Because books always make you feel less alone.
Right. And for what I was going through, I knew that drinking wasn't going to help because that typically would have been something that I would have done at least, you know. And I'm a little bit older than I think all of you. I'm at the point in my life where I can have a couple of drinks and just be ruined the next day. So I was just like, if I'm already...
I'm 84 in my heart.
So, I was like, so if I'm ruined sober, having a couple of drinks is only going to make this worse tomorrow.
Right.
And I still made that mistake 20, 30, 40 times until I was finally like, okay, get an Oprah book.
Right. Get an Oprah book.
It's not going to make you feel worse. That's the thing. It's like, hey, reading this book, you already feel so bad that reading this is not going to... make it.
That's not going to make it worse. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the woman who wrote it is like a total crazy person. You know, and you can kind of feel that coming through self-help books.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, they really wrote this for themselves. and it's not working.
Yeah.
Those are the best kinds.
Yeah. But there's so many different genres of self-help. And it, like you said, it's so dependent on where you are in life. And what was so cool about interviewing Greg is that it was nice to like kind of bridge the gap too of like he was a stand-up for years and years before he wrote that first book and kind of stumbled into it while he was a consultant at Sex and the City, and just hearing how he sort of embraced the like self-help culture and what it's been able to do for people and what he's been able to contribute while still being, you know, not like a total self-help junkie himself. He doesn't come off like that. He's just seems like a very positive, grounded, funny person whose first love is stand-up, but just kind of fell into this other thing and realizes how beneficial it can be for people who are in tough spots, you know what I mean?
Yeah, very trustworthy. Very real.
Yes.
Well, like, for all of the knocks on religion, religion used to kind of play a role in our society. It was a thing that you could at least, like, orient your... You know, I'm having a tough time. Well, I'll go kneel in a church and say something to the guy on the stick, you know?
Yeah. The guy on the stick!
And that's largely...
The guy on the stick. That's to a food court near you.
Yeah.
Guy on a stick!
Oh,
and it's one of those crackers from...
Mongolian. But when that went away, nothing really popped up to replace it. So we still have this spiritual element of our lives, but we don't have like this tradition that we're raised in, whatever religion you would have been raised in, you know, that this is where you go when you have issues of the soul.
Yeah. Yoga has taken over for that.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yes. The Bikram. I have not tried it myself, but
I love it. That is probably where I go to feel the most sort of... I'm not religious at all, but it is one place where it's like, okay, you're physically not allowed to be on your phone for an hour. Mm. And there is somebody that's saying nice things to you, like shut your mind off and think nice thoughts. And it's, you kind of have no choice but to at least try to do that. And it's helpful.
Yeah. I like yoga. I've done some yoga.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm Are you, at it.
I've brought my boyfriend with me a couple times. Are you usually like one of the only guys in the class?
Yeah.
Yeah. He kinda, is too. He's like a good sport about it. He likes it. It's just sometimes it's, pretty female heavy in there.
Dude, it's one. I mean, I was taking classes at LA Fitness, but frankly, it's one of the perks is that there's like fit women wearing skin tight clothing.
It's good motivation,
contorting
right?
Contorting their bodies.
Oh yeah.
And so, like, yeah, fuck yeah. All I'm
You're
doing
the straight
is holding a
guy
pose.
In drama club.
I'm also a married guy in drama club.
Oh,
so
that's a bummer for you.
But yeah, like checking out girls while you're holding a pose is like totally one of the perks of it.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the plays, you get to kiss the lead, and it's just acting. So my analogy still works.
I did do that as well. I tap danced in Singing in the Rain in high school.
Did you really?
For that very reason.
Oh, I'm trying so hard not to be the douchey person that goes, "Can you tap dance for us real quick?"
Yeah, I want to see some pictures.
I can tap dance
some Gene Kelly.
Like when they would bring Gene Kelly out in a telethon and he was like 95 years old and it's like, oh look, Gene still got it. Those are the steps I can do.
Tully's coming in hot still.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Ooh, look at him tapping that foot.
Spry ankles.
I wonder if he liked that or if he's just like, remember me as I was. Gene Kelly was so good. Oh, Sing in the Rain's just a perfect film. It's funny that we have to like go to classes and like pay money to not look at our phones for hours on it. Like that's what I do when I go to the movies, like alone. Sometimes I do that just so I won't be on my phone for a little while. So it's like meditative.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
Why don't you just why don't we all buy dumb phones and these are my smartphone hours and these are my dumb phone hours.
Right.
Yeah.
I can throw your phone in the ocean if you want.
Could you do that for me?
I just light it on fire. Like, hey.
I miss
your
flip phones.
I wish somebody would make, they probably have a dumb phone that you don't have to hit the number key 3 times to get to the letter that you want. Because that's the only thing that would really, if I had like a phone call and texting like moderately kind of semi-retarded phone. That would be perfect for me on weekends.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could ever go back to a flip phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. If it was just, if it was a smartphone, but with only text and calling capability.
Yes.
And email.
No. No.
And Instagram.
The emails
would and emojis.
Because, like, I don't mind not seeing Instagram and Facebook for the whole day, but, like, those important emails that come in, they feel time sensitive.
Yes.
That's what kills me. It's like, ooh, I got to email this person back right now.
Oh, you got one of those jobs, though, where, like, Saturday emails have to get answered Saturday kind of thing?
No, I don't. I'm just
well, then
an
that's
asshole.
That's pretty much on, yeah. essentially on you.
I'm just totally OCD. Like, oh, my gosh, I need to respond right this minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Do any of you see yourselves in the women who are depicted in He's Just Not That Into You?
That's
a good question.
I don't know. I feel like we should refer to the movie characters because that has a narrative and it's more fun to say, I'm a ScarJo.
Yeah.
Do you guys think you relate mostly to one
Jen Aniston
Sterling?
Character, I would say, would be me eventually. Where I'm just like, we should probably get married.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We have a great relationship. We should probably just like make this shit official.
Yeah, really? After being together for like
after
10 years.
After being together
like
forever.
That.
Hint, hint.
But then I'd be like, if he doesn't want to, I'm like, all right, that's fine. That's how I can
okay,
see myself
that's
being.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know.
I haven't seen the movie, nor will I ever.
Okay. Well.
But I assume that there's just a bunch of women who are with guys who are not that into them. And then at the 11th hour, they meet guys who are super into them.
Yeah.
There's one particular character that's like that. Everything else has kind of different storylines.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I feel like maybe the Jennifer Connelly, I tend to look at the best parts of somebody for like a little too long, or I put too much weight on that as opposed to dealing with actual problems. You know what I mean? So there's a character in the book who's just like kind of keeps forgiving bad shit happening, and so I've learned now to like establish better boundaries for myself, but I tend to be that type of a person, I guess. If that makes sense.
There was a bit somewhere in there that I copied. This is what it should look like by Greg. My friend Mike liked my friend Laura. After band practice, he asked her out, and now they're married. My friend Russell met this girl Amy. They dated and got married. My friend Jeff met a girl out of town and went and visited her the next weekend and never stopped visiting her until he moved in with her. It's really that simple. It's almost always that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do consider myself, at least so far, one of the lucky ones in the regard that for me it was that simple.
Oh, wow.
I was with a bunch of women that I wasn't that into.
Yeah.
Because I knew I wanted to be with somebody that I was really, really into. And then when that person came along, I was like, right, it's go time.
Oh, right. Awesome. Yeah. How old are you?
I was like 28 or 29.
Oh, that's a good age. Cool.
She only recently told me that she was like 25, which I obviously didn't know at the time, and that she has mild regrets that, because I always felt so good about it. I think 28 is sort of a perfect age for
totally.
To
oh yeah.
But 25 is kind of young.
Yeah.
And it's just, but what could she do after she met me? You know.
Right. Oh boy.
No going back. I mean, just
tap dance right into her heart.
Yes.
Can't say no to that.
Show you a little one.
Gene Tully, am I right?
But it does. It really does work that way. It's just like you know, if you have to like pull out all the stops, because I've seen women who I dated one girl totally fits the profile of the Sex and the City in this book. And she was she's attractive and she was successful. And I could feel like she had learned some lessons in her professional life that she thought she could apply to her dating life. That she could be like, oh, we're having a drink, but that's not really that exciting. I see an opportunity to introduce some flair into this. This will become an anecdote, you know?
She was using it for stories?
No, she thought that she could like rub the sticks together and make it happen. The relationship.
She felt like she could bachelor it.
I guess
if we plan some real cool dates, we'll fall in love. That kind
of thing. Yeah, right. Yeah. And in reality, I was attracted to her when I met her, and then the more I got to know her, I liked her as well, and so I grew to like her a little bit more. But I was never super into her, and I never became super into her. And yeah. I believe if you can find someone out there who does get roped in like that, you will find at best a relationship that the guy has never been totally sure if he should have committed to.
Right.
And who the fuck wants that?
Right.
You can pull it off, but you can't make love.
Right. Yeah.
It can't be done.
Well, because you're going to have doubts even if you have that, like, total crazy head over heels, like, immediate spark, we're in love completely. Like, you're still going to eventually, you know, sort of... You should talk about this. I'm a child. Kelsey,
I just bailed.
I like bailed heard myself spewing all this bullshit. And I was like, Taylor, you've been... No.
How old are you, Taylor?
Kelsey, I'm 23. I'm a garbage human.
Look, as a 23-year-old, let me tell you how it is.
Yeah. If I met my soulmate right now, I would ruin it. Like, if I met my soulmate right now, even if he was the right guy for me, I would ruin it just by, like, you liked his Instagram posts? And then I have to regret it the rest of my life. Like, I hope to God I don't meet my soulmate anytime soon. But Kelsey's been in a relationship for 5 years?
Yeah.
5 years. So she's the resident expert on relationships because her and Kane are adorable and they're both comedians, which is a feat within itself.
Yeah. Thank
you. To have a successful relationship. And you guys met and it was like very immediate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I felt very, very strongly right away. But I also met him when I was 22 and he was like 24, almost 25. So I also think there's something to be said for... If you have kept a relationship going through your 20s, you're going to feel like you've had at least 5 different relationships with that person because there's so much growth and change happening in your 20s.
And
so.
You felt like that was super early. I remember you saying, like, you were kind of like, oh, shit.
I didn't want to meet him that young.
I wouldn't have wanted to.
No. Yeah,
I didn't want to when I was that age.
Fuck. Yeah. You know, but I couldn't unmeet him. And at that point, I was like, okay, well, I'm in it. I'm going for it. But... Right.
This is how my wife feels about me.
Yeah.
Resentful.
Right.
It's like totally being resentful. Ready for success.
Yeah.
Right.
Resentful.
I love you, but for the fact that you robbed me of the best years of my life.
Yes. 100%.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Everything's a mixed bag. Everything is pluses and minuses.
Yeah. Oh, it is that easy, though, because, like, I dated everybody before I met my boyfriend.
Literally
everybody. And just felt like there was something wrong with me because I was meeting these great guys and dating these great guys and felt like, wow, they're everything I want on paper. What's wrong with me? I really thought I was a lesbian for a while because I'm like, maybe I'm just not attracted to men. You know, I was like, maybe I'll make an OkCupid profile and start looking for ladies.
So you did meet a lot of great guys.
I met a lot of great guys. Okay. I met a lot of douchers, too.
Of course.
But there was a great mix in there to the point where I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I just need to kind of cool it, calm down. And that's when I met my boyfriend. It was like when I wasn't looking for anything. And I just liked him right away. And like, oh, this is what people are talking about, where you like want to spend time with them and, see them as much as possible. And you don't get sick of them. I never dated somebody that I didn't get sick of before him.
Right. And it doesn't take any sort of weird accommodation. There's no mental hoops that you need to leap through. I just have to remember to not blah, blah, blah with this person that sets them off.
Like, or talk yourself into loving them.
Totally myself.
It works.
Yeah.
We all, as human beings, I believe, are equipped to be able to tell emotionally when things are working and when they are not. It's just whether or not you're intellectually honest enough with yourself and brave enough with yourself to face facts.
Yeah. No, it's great. I can have fun with him in line at the DMV just because we're just being, you know, just cracking jokes and talking.
Yeah. No, you guys are both in very like authentic, healthy relationships. It's very beautiful.
How long have you been married, Mike?
Let's see. My kid is 5 and a half, so 6 years.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. Got on it real quick.
I like that math.
How's the kid? Is it cool?
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
He's the coolest. Like, again, in many ways, I don't feel like my life has a lot of lessons for a lot of people's because I love my wife and she's, I mean, nobody's perfect, but it's, I know people who will tell me candidly, yeah, I'm like 70% of the way there on my wife and I don't really know what to do. And
wait,
it's just like,
what? Like 70% on the way to feeling.
No, like she's 70% of everything I ever wanted. Is 30% too much to.
Oh, they up tell you, yo, Mike, I settled.
If I let her go, well, no, but these people don't necessarily think that they settled. I think that they think. I dated people who were 20% of what I wanted or 0% of what I wanted. And I found 70.
Interesting.
What's the Mendoza line is what they call it in baseball of where you just go, that's because I'm not at 100%.
Yeah. Right. Well, nobody is. Yes.
Right. Exactly. That's so impossible. What's the number? And I never had to worry about that. You know, it's just like the more I got to know my wife, I was like, this is just great. This is awesome. And then our kid is like, I know everybody has to say this, but he's just like, he's the coolest kid. I mean, of course, aww, he's a humongous pain in the ass. Constantly. I've been angry at him like 3 times already today, and it's 11:30. But he's the greatest, so I don't know. It's not a problem. Some people's kids suck. And I'm told they still love them, but I don't see how.
Yeah, but they don't like them.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I guess so. Sure. It's just like, yeah, if there was a freight train coming through our living room, I guess I would throw myself in front of it. Doesn't mean I want to take you for ice cream.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't want to hang out with you, bro. Like, yeah. But I'll feed you and stuff. Yeah. Right.
I have a question for you. Did you always want kids, or did you always wanted and you knew that, or did that change when you got older?
Yeah. Apparently, I would have told you yes, but apparently more strongly than I used to. Apparently, I used to get drunk and say it.
Really?
Oh, my God. You're like the Michael Scott. You're like, I just want to have a million children so I can have friends forever. You know that scene?
That's so sweet. No, I don't. You ever seen The Office?
I never really got
dipped
beyond
in and out.
I did the English one, and I was like, I know the American one's a whole different thing, but I was pretty good with the English one.
Oh, okay.
That's so sweet that you wanted them that badly.
Because I feel like some guys are like, they don't know, and then all of a sudden they really want them, or they just don't ever really want them, and then their lady friend talks them into it.
Yeah. I don't get the people who don't know, and I know I've offended some people by being blunt about that. I can totally understand not wanting children, and my advice to anybody, if you're kind of like, I think I might, but maybe you don't.
Right.
Because I used to always tell my friends, like, maybe you're not sure, but once you see that kid, and then I actually did it and stopped talking out of my ass. And it's like, no, if you think you don't want kids, then that's a totally legitimate angle. And I read there was a recent study, so I think it was in England, it was in The Economist, that childless adults are every bit as happy nowadays as adults.
Wow.
Just the conventional wisdom would be you'd feel this gaping hole in your life, but no, they have more disposable income, they have more freedom, they are, you know, they're able to pursue interests and stuff like that. So do whatever you're into, but the people who are like, I'm not sure, I'm starting to think I might be getting to a point where maybe I could consider I think I made a girl cry one time at a bar because she told me that, and I was like, shit or get off the pot.
Wow. That's interesting. I feel like very recently, like in the last 6 months to a year, I got to a place where I was like, oh, I definitely have to have kids. Mm-hmm. And before that, growing up, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have kids or we'll see. Like when I was little, I was really afraid of childbirth. Like I went through a lot of phases with it. And then I don't know what happened in the last 6 months, but my body was just like, no, we got to do this
someday.
It'll
get worse. I didn't want any kids until I hit 25. And I'm like, I need to be a mom someday.
Oh,
it was just
like
in my head.
Christmas future.
Yeah, it was
the opposite.
Yeah,
really? I continue to like want them less and less.
Oh, as you get older? Oh,
why do you think that is?
Because your life gets doper and doper.
Probably.
That was what I was assuming.
Yeah. I mean, also, I'm on a plane like at least every other weekend, if not more, and I'm seeing kids at their worst all the time.
Oh,
I'm seeing kids at their worst and parents at their most unhappy.
Yeah.
And it's just easy to see that a lot. I also see very cute kids and parents that look very happy with them. But I've always felt a little scared. Like, what if I have kids and I still think my cats are cuter than my kid? What if I'm gambling too high and it breaks? Like, what if I actually have the best thing right now that I love my animals so much and I might just always be somebody that loves animals more than kids?
You should try Googling, I love my cats more than my children, and see what kind of results come up.
That would be hilarious. A treasure trove.
Yeah.
I have no feelings towards animals, which I know makes me sound like a monster.
Wow, yeah, I don't know if we can continue to be friends.
I think they're really cute, but I don't have any feelings of, like, I don't feel like I need an animal.
Right. I'm the same as you. I'm also a sociopath. Same.
Yeah, right, yeah. I'm total sociopath. I get it. Like, I just, you know, there's no part of me that's like, oh, I need a cat or a fern in my house. But, like, there is something in me that's like, yeah, I need a baby.
Oh, probably my womb. I've seen, like, a golden retriever puppy on just, like, walking in New York, and I've cried. Like, that's where I'm at. Where if I see something that's that precious, I just, like, my body only knows to be like, oh, my God, look at you. Yeah. Like, I'm that person that will stop somebody's day to be like, I need to just hold it for a little
cry
bit.
On your
that's
puppy.
The answer on who's the crazy one.
Like, well, I've cried looking at babies.
It took us an hour, but we got there.
I cry at strangers' dogs.
Yeah, that
welcome
is,
to self-help.
That's but fair. I've had the same reaction to babies. Haven't you had that?
Oh, that's the thing. The when way Kelsey feels baby. About that puppy is like, sometimes I've seen such cute babies where I tear up and
me
like
too.
What is wrong with me? But that started happening around 25. I didn't have that feeling at all before then, so I don't know what
I'm an early
happened
bloomer.
Yeah, you were an early bloomer because at your age I was still like, nah, that's not for me.
Oof.
So I changed. I'm a flip-flopper is what happened.
I think that happens to a lot of people. I mean, there's no reason that it should be at the forefront of your thoughts when you're in your early 20s,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
You got magic to do.
I couldn't imagine not. one thing that really struck me, so the book He's Just Not That Into You is, it's essentially the title just repeated over and over and over again to book length and in book form. He's pretty much the only point that he has, which I kind of respect him for.
That's most self-help books.
Well,
right.
I guess I went into it thinking or assuming that he pulled punches a little bit, that ultimately he would give women a spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down. That if he actually told them what the truth, he's just not that into you, that it wouldn't have been as successful as it was. So I'm happy to see that he did not pull any punches. He just threw the exact same one over and over and over again.
Yeah, he talked about that on the episode, that he was not a fan of sugary self-help books, and that if he was going to write one, it was going to get right to it and not sugarcoat anything.
Yeah.
So he talks about that on our
He says the title should tell you the answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did that.
Yeah.
So most of it made perfect sense to me, and like I say, it was pretty much the same thing over and over. There was one thing that really struck me. Well, let me give you the first part of this. Girls are taught a lot of stuff growing up. Do you... the second half will take this on a weird path, but let's just start with that. Is that true? Like, did you feel like you were being groomed for motherhood, or you were being groomed to be a princess? Because I, as a boy, I don't feel like I was groomed to be anything, but I'm willing to believe that we in our society raise boys and girls differently.
That's interesting. My dad always wanted boys, so I was kind of raised as a boy and a very tomboy. I was always played sports, didn't have a lot of like girly type of toys. I mean, I had some, but I didn't feel like I was being groomed one way or the other. I felt like it was a pretty well-rounded type of childhood in that respect.
And now you can pee standing up, which is so useful.
Yeah, it's the best. Yeah,
have you seen the lines at the ladies' room?
It's great.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah,
Delaney
great.
Just makes eye contact with every single one while she's emptying herself.
Worst comes to worst, I'll take off my top.
Did you feel like that, Kelsey?
I mean, I feel like growing up, girls watch a lot more romantic comedies and shit like that.
Yeah.
That obviously feeds us certain ideas of what we should want and what is considered romantic and right and all that.
But nobody forces them to watch them. They choose to watch them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we definitely have more of that like girly, like, ooh, I want to see what this is like to watch Jude Law fall in love with Cameron Diaz. You know, like...
Holiday, great movie.
Such a good movie.
Such a good movie.
It's almost Christmas, it's almost time.
We're about to review a book called The Defining Decade, and there's a whole chapter in that book about how we don't really go through any classes in school about finding a partner and what you're supposed to look for and what makes a marriage successful. And so then we're just out in the world, just trial and error all the time. So, I mean, I know I went my previous relationship, I found out afterward that he had borderline personality disorder. So with a concept like he's just not that into you, it's like, well, sometimes it's a lot more complicated than that. But you don't know about personality disorders until you are in something like that, or unless you're like a psych major in college. So I don't know. I feel like that kind of got away from what you were asking, but
it was very interesting.
Good shot. Well, I think young girls are told to be like, "Oh, be careful. Don't do that," a lot more than little boys.
Oh yeah.
I think little boys like, "Oh, that guy's climbing a tree," but if, you know, your little girls wanted to climb the tree, you're going to be a little bit more, "Oh, she's so dainty and fragile." Where I feel like that can probably, I don't know, change a little bit to be a little bit more, right, you know, neutral.
Well, and you're told, you know, much more as a little girl, like, you know, don't go anywhere by yourself because you will get raped and murdered. Like, you, there's that whole darker element of things. I felt like I was groomed pretty heavily, but I grew up really religious. So I was like raised to be a virgin until marriage and like, you know, very submissive to my husband and like all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, as far as like very conservative grooming, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you got...
You got groomed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You got groomed.
I'm actually
a new reality.
There's
show.
A bow on my cheese hat. So
like be ladylike. Were you told to be ladylike? Yes. Don't swear. Don't do this.
They put me in ballet classes when I was a kid because my mom was afraid I wouldn't be graceful enough. And I was like, I'm just fat. Don't make me dance in jeans over my leotard, please.
I don't know if this is too personal a question, but do you feel like your mom wanted you to become the sort of like ladylike lady that she was, or that maybe she felt like, oh shit, I need her to be even more ladylike than I was ever able to be?
You know, I don't know. I think it's all so ingrained in when you grow up in church, it's so ingrained in the religious aspect of it because, you know, you're raised to become like women of God, and so much of how you're raised is based on, you know, what the Bible says. And so I think they're just going off of that template more than they're like, I'm trying to make them like me, or I'm trying to make them better than me. But I think all parents want to raise you better than they feel like they were, or help you avoid mistakes they made, or feel like they made.
Right, right. Yeah, everybody definitely wants to correct the mistakes that they made in their life, whereas their kid will avoid their pitfalls but have all new ones of their own.
Yes.
Right.
So here's that complete statement, which was the only jarring note that I found in the whole book. Girls are taught a lot of stuff growing up. We're all programmed to believe that if a guy acts like a total jerk, that means he likes you. Also, shortly thereafter, if a guy punches you, he likes you. Do you feel like all girls are taught that?
As a little kid, like in elementary school, it's like,
playground.
Oh, the boy who's teasing you usually has a crush on you because they don't know how to deal with their feelings or yet.
Yes.
So I get that part of it. It's totally. Like, oh, he's teasing you. He probably has a crush. The whole punching and thing, I mean, that all changes when you're older. It's like the teasing becomes, hey, you want to go on a date? So I feel like...
Right. If there's physical punching, then
that's
obviously that's some very serious deep issues,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's not...
I'm gonna go ahead and say that a boy over 12 punches you, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
I was talking to a coworker the other day about his game plan and strategy for picking up women.
Oh, no.
And he does friend zone them and like neg them and do all that stuff to get them
gross.
To like him. And the worst part is that it works. So it's like, okay, sometimes if he is being a dick, he is into you, but he's going to come out at some point.
I have a guy friend that does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
He's a comic, and he fully does that.
Yeah,
like that's his plan.
Yeah.
I used to live in an apartment that clearly the previous occupant had subscribed to. I'm forgetting his name. Neil, who wrote the game? Neil Strauss.
I was just going to bring up the game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where all this shit really was codified and really brought into the culture. It existed before that, but how everybody found out about it. Apparently, I don't know if Neil Strauss still goes around talking like the game works, but he's still, or at least he was as of 5 or 6 years ago, making money on it on the side, because this guy was getting newsletters.
Really?
About like this month and negging.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But I feel like even that guy is going to tell you he likes you eventually. Like even the guy who's playing the game, they're going to make some moves where it's like, okay, he's been playing me this whole time.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're going to know eventually. But some guys, they're just never going to be into you.
At some point, he'll be like, hey, I really like you. And you'll be like, really? You do? And he's like, yeah, you idiot. Of course I do.
Yeah, exactly.
You're so stupid, you couldn't tell.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Pick up on my negging. You're an idiot.
Yeah, but if like a year goes by, he's not even negging you. He just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, unfortunately, we need to wrap this up. Thank you very much, ladies. This has been fun.
Oh, so much
for
fun.
Having us.
So nice. You such good questions.
Are at Taylor Tomlinson. These are all Twitter. Sorry, I know you guys are Instagram.
It's okay.
Can I see Tom Horse when I'm talking to? I feel weird about saying Instagram whore to a lady.
Instagram whores?
We're not.
We're trying.
We're becoming slowly. We're blossoming into thirstier Instagram people.
Yeah, but we're hoping to get there.
For now, your Twitters are at Taylor Tomlinson, at Delaney Fisher, at Kelsey Cook. And, of course, the podcast is the Self Helpless Podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Why won't it let me be looking inside?